What's the mission of this vessel, Doctor? To seek out and contact alien life, and an opportunity to demonstrate what our high-sounding words mean.
Our mission is one of rescue, and if necessary, confrontation with a hostile force.
Your mission is to get those emergency medical supplies to Marcus III in time for their transfer to the new Paris colony.
Since our mission was routine, we had beamed down to the planet without suspicion.
Although we are on a peaceful mission, we are ready to go into battle instantly.
Meanwhile, we remain in orbit to complete our mission. Close scientific measurement of the breakup of this planet.
This ship has a mission to carry out.
Our missions are always inherently dangerous, and any of us could be called upon to make the ultimate sacrifice at any time.
I'm tired of deciding which mission is too risky and which isn't, and who's going on the landing party and who doesn't.
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 24. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
Today, we were going to be talking about the introduction of universal proxies in the tournament format, specifically missions, and the horrible time of year this is.
The laser may have a pointed at you, isn't set on stun, Section 31.
Right, so we had the first unsanctioned tournament in San Diego in about 60 years, 2 weeks ago. We only had three people show up. Turns out we had a very interesting three-player game, but it was kind of disappointing. People were on vacation. It's too early for holiday shopping. I don't know what everyone else's excuses was, but it was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I have noticed it's actually really odd. I went way out of my way, and I know several other people did. And was at every single tournament last season. I think I've made less than half this half in this half of the year. I've been to like four of the nine tournaments. Is that what we had?
Yeah, by that. It seems to be that a lot of folks that usually come out just haven't been making the effort to join us. I don't know if it was something I said, or it's just the... You know, with the direction the game's going, it's kind of disappointing.
I blame you personally. I don't know. I think it might be the game as well. Even this time last year, when we would make plans for travel or for other things going on, we can't go that week. There's a tournament that weekend. And I've certainly gotten a lot more lax in my planning as far as that's concerned. Let's go whenever's convenient for us. And if there's a tournament, I'll miss it. It's hard to stay excited about a game that doesn't have anything new that's going on.
I wonder if some of that has to do with the fact that the last two expansions weren't as exciting as some of the expansions in the past. They didn't really inspire me to throw together anything really new. You know what I mean?
I do. I definitely... The Undiscovered Country I was more excited about, and I think there were a couple things that just because it was the first virtual expansion, I was raring to go, but I did not... was not overly inspired by this last set in particular, which is kind of ironic considering the name. I thought it was more like a little tame rather than bold. We sing the praises of our Spatial Rifts format because you get to play a different affiliation every week, and there are different versions of the same affiliation that you can play. So you can play spy Romulans, you can play dissident Romulans or combo Romulans with other tuples. But, once you've played them all, it's hard to keep coming up with new things when there's only one or two virtual cards coming in to add flavor to it or whatnot.
Well, the next virtual set, hopefully, it was the first set designed after Worlds, so maybe it'll have something to shake up the meta a little bit. Maybe it'll create a new deck archetype or two. I'm not fond of releasing cards that, you know, decimate one deck style, and typically that really hasn't been the case in Trek. You know, that was something that happened with, you know, Star Wars with Magic Bullets back in the day, but it'd be nice to see some new cards that really, you know, let you pull cards out of the binder as the 40-point mission stuff did in the last set. Just something to really generate something that's actually competitive with some of the really speed next gen and some of the things that were at the top of the heap.
Yeah, I agree. I did. I enjoyed the binder pulling that you mentioned, like the 40 points, and to a lesser extent the four cost personnel cost four or more. I think they've kind of got the idea. I've heard a lot of people talking at World or at Gen Con of you know, that was good, but it wasn't supported enough. There was only a couple sets of it. I think those were good things to follow up with. And if, you know, they can continue to encourage things like that, that will break up the meta. I think we could get interesting. And, you know, once we get past the hump, we're going into the holidays, we're coming out of autumn, where things kind of come down off of the high of summer. A lot of our player base who are students in various institutions and various levels, high school, college, are going back into work, or even teachers are going back into work, and then that segues into the holidays. It's just a rough time to keep a player group around, but for some reason, once you come back from the holidays, a lot of people seemed jazzed to get back into it. So hopefully we'll have that annual cycle repeat.
And after the new year, people start thinking about regional events in the springtime and then summer events leading into Worlds, and then it just kind of drops off. So, yeah, hopefully we'll be able to get another little bit of a turnaround, get maybe a new player or something.
Yeah.
I would definitely talk about it if we got a new player, because I do not see the number of active players going up in the future, just because the whole industry is going down. I just see that as something that's going to be tough.
Somebody's going to hear about this.
Well, along the vein of finding new players, one of the things that the Continuing Committee has decided to do is allow the use of proxy missions in tournament play. So any mission out there that you don't happen to have, or if you're a new player who hasn't been able to get their hands on some of the old cards, missions were always an uncommon, so maybe you don't have them all. Now you can just print one out and throw it in starting December 1st.
Proxies in general, I've always been kind of questionable about, but I have absolutely no problem with this ruling. I think missions are, if there's any card that everybody should have access to, it should be missions. And I think this is a good step to help encourage players. While I know most experienced players would be, you know, totally willing to give, you know, a heap of missions to a new player, not every new player might have access to that sort of generosity. And they are uncommon, so it's not like they're easy to get. They're not difficult, but they're not easy. In fact, they are uncommon, hence the title.
I as a collector, you know, made sure I had, for some reason, a playset of missions, which means three.
Yeah.
I guess really a playset would be one, since you can never have more than one in a deck. But, you know, just for having multiple decks built at once, I picked up three. So I have never been in a position to need a mission, but I have no problem with this. In fact, I'm of the opinion that, you know what, if you want to play this game and you don't have a card and for some reason, you know, you can't get a hold of one, just print it out. I mean, I don't think there should be any barriers to entry in this game because, like I said, I don't see the number of players going up in general due to, you know, the decline in the amount of stock that's available, or, you know, just what's going on in the world right now.
Yeah, our community in general has always been fairly loose about, you know, ownership of cards. I know there are some who are like, you know, if you don't own a card, that's it. You know, I certainly don't want you playing with cards that you don't own, because then you're going to have an edge over me or whatever. But, you know, we are frequently.
You know what? Yeah. If if the difference is from you borrowing a card from the library or just printing it out and using it, it's going to be the same thing. I mean, yeah. The only difference that could be is I can see if there's some kind of difference between proxy cards and real cards, you know, card thickness or whatever. But if you do it right and you're printing nice proxies that everyone can read and, you know, maybe they're in color and you can't tell if they're not a real card, hey, I don't care, whatever.
I could see it being an issue when the game was still going. You know, it might kill the collectability of the game, or it might, you know, if you don't encourage more people to buy more cards, then, you know, Decipher might not have, you know, made any more, or they might have gone under or whatever. But at this point, is it really that big of a deal? I mean, I would much rather it have another player and you know, let them print out a playset of anything they want. And, you know, here, you know what? Why don't you make up your own dream cards while you're at it? Then,
well, you know, I know there are a few people who have cards to sell. And I would say go ahead and sell them now while you can, because with this first step into printing missions, I can only imagine that the next thing I'm going to do is, okay, now you can print Necessary Evil, because there's just no more of that. And, you know, if you need some Blaze of Glory, sure, go ahead and print out any copies you want.
And I don't even think that's going to be an issue. And it might actually help them more than they think it's going to, because if this is not for people who might get into it and, you know, are afraid to buy cards, this is for people who wouldn't otherwise play.
Sure.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry, no, I can't get into that game. I just don't have that kind of money to get into a collectible card game. Well, you don't have to. Here you go.
Yeah, and you know what? If I had a deck that was mostly rares, in fact, I do have a Magic deck that I wanted to build for a while. I've had, like, it started out about 60% proxies, and every year go to Gen Con. I actually do buy one or two of the cards to replace them so that it's actually a real deck. Yeah, I can only imagine people will be doing the same thing with Trek.
Yeah, if they get into it, they really enjoy it. You know, maybe they want to buy an affiliation or a particular set or fill out their deck, like you're saying. Or, you know, if they really do get into it, they may just decide, you know, proxies are kind of a pain sometimes to deal with. Little slips of paper slipping in, you know, in and out of sleeves. They may just break down and invest, and that will actually help the people who are trying to sell their collections.
So, tell us what you think. We've still got this stack of Picard foils to give out. Actually, it's dwindling, so I've got a few more left. Send an email to section31@danhammond.com and let us know what you think about this whole proxy business.
Do you have one of those set aside for me? I still haven't got one for me.
Lies.
Truth.
All right.
I don't know how they do it on Deep Space Nine, but on the Enterprise, we still report the duty on time.
Well, I know why everybody in our area didn't have a tournament this weekend, because we were doing the San Diego Rocket Race, which is run by a couple of members of our local card game community, our very own Agent Dan and James Floyd run a sort of urban challenge, amazing race style scavenger hunt, and it is sci-fi. The puzzles are all sort of sci-fi, geek related, and it's a lot of fun. And I bring this up because, one, if you're local and you enjoy that sort of thing, you should totally come out, and it's awesome. And two, because I've noticed this in this and in other instances, that there is a wealth of detailed Star Trek knowledge that I sometimes wonder if I shouldn't have. And that I know purely because of playing the game so much. Thomas and I were both affecting this when we were doing that first clue, which involved the banners of the little little portraits of various Star Trek characters, and we were wrongly in this case trying to interpret, you know, whether or not only the friendly quote unquote characters would help us, but we were looking at some, like, you know, Garak and Quark were all questionable, and then there was like a random Jem'Hadar, and we're like, no, Jem'Hadar bad. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, what if it's the Jem'Hadar that allied with him? And Thomas goes, you mean Blakatakatan? I'm like, crap. I'm like, yeah, that's right. And or, you know, the one of them was a Hirogen. It was like, I'm like, well, what if that's that one Hirogen that helped them in that Voyager episode and was, you know, like, you know what? If they're expecting to people to know that, the only way they'd know that is from the card game. And from previous examples, they've done all they could to help to hurt us from having pre-existing knowledge, not help us. But it was funny trying to, you know, second guess ourselves from having too much knowledge.
Yeah, there were a couple teams that the first half of that clue was to just fill in some random information about captains of the Enterprise, and all that information was up on banners around the museum where we started. But there were a couple teams who just put their heads down, filled it all out, and ran off, and they didn't need anything like that. That was awesome. Yeah,
that would be us. And it turns out those banners were crucial information. But yeah, definitely some of the interesting byproduct of playing a game like this so much and so long that it's always fun to have.
Your mind is filled with useless trivia.
It is. It's like random guest star who played. Oh, hey, yeah. Did you know Tosk also played Romataclon? Like, sadly, yes, I do.
If you'd like to put your useless knowledge to use, we'll be having another race at the beginning of November next year. We'll have pictures from the race up at sdrocketrace.com. Well, that's all the intelligence we have time for this week. On behalf of Captain Carl and the folks at Warp 11, we shout a hearty thanks. And to our producer, Matt, I am Sir Dan.
I am Sir Rogue.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will play Jack Bauer to end. And let's see, I have the Creighton in play, and I have a full crew of, yeah, I'm just totally talking my ass, I have no idea what I'm doing.